Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave the magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Well, hello, and welcome to this edition of Your Half Hour Inspirational Program. This is a part of the A very powerful word. For example, if you go into the store to make a purchase of something that you hope to get, or let's just say something as simple, you want to buy an ice cream. Well, you've got your money, you put out your money, you're doing your part. Then there's an expectation that person behind the ice cream counter or over there is going to give you the ice cream or the hamburger, whatever it is that you're making that purchase for. There's an expectation that sometimes is beyond a reasonable expectation that you're anticipating get something in exchange for. You know, in law, they would call that quid pro quo, something in exchange for something else. But in this case, you know, will God do for us what we can do, what he expects us? Now, we're not talking about, I mean, there's a lot in that thought, you know. So the question becomes now, will God do for us what we can do for ourselves? No, I'm saying, will God do for us what he expects us to do for ourselves? So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into content and context and etymology of words. You know, etymology has to do with the symmetrics and the diametrics of how words are broken down and interpreted. And in certain areas of language, in certain areas of academia, sometimes these things are broken down in such a way that one word might mean something in another format or context of how you use it versus when you're presented in a different way, you know, how that might mean, what it might mean. And so you say, well, he or she is using this word, this one particular word, in a certain way, and it doesn't sound like it's proper in that sentence. Okay, I'll give you something right now. As a matter of fact, I might make the statement for all the callers that are on here, the first five callers, I just want you to know I'm buying dinner. And, you know, I would love the first one that the press has won and tell me how they interpret that. I would love to hear what your thoughts are on that. If you press one for that statement, the first five callers, you know, that come over the air, press one and tell me how you interpret that saying. All right, we've got our first caller. And before we get going, I just want to say a word of prayer to bring God into our program tonight. Father, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, tonight's show, as we delve into the spirituality of the word, we ask that you would be with us, guide, direct, and order our steps. And help us to be blessed, all of us that tune in and on what we believe, what our faith is and our belief systems are, and guide and direct us. In Christ's name I pray and thank you, amen. Let's go to the first call. We're going to go to South Florida, 786-489. Welcome to the your half-hour inspirational program. Who do we have with us and welcome?
This is Stevie. How you doing, Dr. Walker?
We're doing good, Stevie. We appreciate you calling in. Stevie, tonight we're talking about will God do for us what he expects us to do for ourselves. But I want you to answer that question when I say the first five callers, and I said I'm buying dinner. How do you interpret that?
I interpret that you buy dinner, but you said for the first five callers, so I'm expecting dinner because I was one of the first five callers. That's how I interpret it.
All right, good. We're going to ask you to hold that thought, and notice he used the word expect. There's an expectation, or whether it's a reasonable expectation or beyond expectation. We're talking about content, context, and etymology of words, and what their meaning might be when they're placed in a sentence. All right, let's go to another caller. We're going to ask to stand by. Let's go to South Florida again, 305-769.
This is Ms. Augustine.
Ms. Augustine, thank you for joining us this evening. Ms. Augustine, how do you interpret that statement, what I just made?
I interpret the same, that I was expecting that the first five callers, he was going to treat us to dinner, and I was the second caller.
All right. Now, see, okay, let me, and we were waiting for some others to press in at the same time to give us their interpretation of that statement. Now, let me say this. Over here in the studio, I'm looking at all the callers that are calling in. I'm looking at that, and I can see everybody who's calling in, and them, when they press a button, it gives me all the names, all the numbers shows up. And so my question becomes, and I'll start with Stevie and ask him this question. Stevie, how do you know that you were one of the first five callers, or you were within that first five call group? How do you know that for a fact?
Because you answered my call, one of the first five calls, so you answered my call. You asked me to talk, and I talked, so I was the first one on the show. I've been on the show since it started, so I consider myself one of the first of the five.
Okay, that is absolutely brilliant. But watch this now. See, because I'm over here, and I can see what you all don't see. I can see what you all don't see. Perhaps there were other callers, because there are other callers that are on here, but they didn't press one. So that was a presumption or an assumption that because I took your call first, Stevie, that I must be in that top five because he took my call first. And then same thing with you, Ms. Augustine. You're saying you expect the dinner because I took your call, so you said you were number two. And there are other callers that just didn't press anything. And there were other callers who were on before both of you all. And it's just amazing. But watch this now. Watch this, how we interpret things. And I have hundreds of these that I mentioned. These are like these are brain teasers. Now, I made that comment, but it was a statement. It was a statement. But with that statement, both of you all had an expectation, you know, the etymology of words. You had an expectation that I'm buying dinner for all of the first five callers. No, what that was done, it was designed to throw you off, to make you mm-hmm. interpret it that way. Watch this now. Watch this, because this is how we make assumptions. We make presumptions and so forth when it comes to context, content, and the etymology of words, and how those words can be transformed or transcribed into a different sentence, and then it changes the whole dynamic. I said was actually a statement. It was a statement. Yes, it was not a question. It was a statement. But the statement was saying that it was an inference to you all, but it was a statement directed to me, that the first five callers, I'm buying dinner. I never went out to say I'm buying dinner for the first five callers. That was an assumption, a presumption, a perception. But it was saying I'm buying dinner. And I never gave the who I'm buying dinner for. And the application of that was that I'm buying dinner for myself. But it's just that I never gave the clarity on it. So I did that to make a point. And here's the point. Let me tell you how it is. And I have hundreds of those, if not thousands of those. And the point that I wanted to make was, with our topic tonight, will God do for us what he expects? The key word here is expect. When he expects us to do something that he's given us the agility, the power, the ability to do, then the question becomes, will he do it for us? Ms. Augustine, let me hear from you, and Stephen will come to you. Will he? You can rebut, you can ask questions for clarity on my comment, and then you can go on to answer the question, if you would, please.
Well, okay. Will God do for me? Would you repeat that again?
Well, the topic. Will God, first you can rebut or give me your thoughts on my statement about dinner, the first five callers, and then give me your rebuttable assumption or presumption that God will do for us what he expects us to do for ourselves, or he will, answer the question. Do you think God will do for us what he expects us to do for ourselves?
No.
Okay.
I believe that being a parent, God is my father, and me being a parent, when I expect my children to do something, I expect them to do it. And if they don't do it, then I wait until they do it, or I give them a little encouragement to do it. So I think as we are God's children, when God expects us to do something or tell us to do something, even though it might not make any sense, he expects us to do it. But if we don't do it, then I think he gave a little incentive. He let us make mistakes. He let mistakes happen. He let things happen. But eventually we'll go down the right path and get to where we should be.
Okay. All right. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Ms. Augustine. That's a very good illustration, because you mentioned that God has this expectation for us to do something, and you put it in a parental format, because you say, as a parent, when you tell your child to do something, you expect them, you have that expectation for them to do it, to follow your commands, to follow your orders. And, the question becomes, will God do for us? Just like you tell a kid, go clean that kitchen. So you have an expectation that the child's going to clean that kitchen because you told them to do that. But even so, if we're waiting in our homes to get a job, and we're able-minded, and we're very capable and qualified to go out there and look for a job, and I'm going to give you a story in a moment, and we don't go out there to look, and we expect God to bring the job to us. Stevie, I wanted you to address that question. Will God just bring that job to the door for you if you're able?
God is able to do anything. He's capable of bringing the job to your door. He brought a scholarship to my house. Two people walked in and gave me a scholarship for college. He will bring a person or somebody. He'll bring someone and say, this is it. It's up to you to decide to take it. And some people, things are brought to them, and they don't accept it, or they don't understand it, they don't accept it, and they don't do nothing with it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Stevie, were you looking for the scholarship at the time that these people came? Had you made a phone call? Was there an expectation that somebody was going to come and bring something to you as a result of some seed that you planted, which would give you an expectation? If we plant a watermelon seed, we expect a watermelon to grow.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting help and money when I went to college from anywhere and everywhere I could. And I was ready to go, and I didn't have no financial aid or nothing. Had a little financial aid, but I was, you know, wasn't everything paid for. And two ladies walked into my house on a Saturday afternoon and offered me a free ride to go to college. I mean, that was a blessing. I know my mom was praying for it, so we got it, and it was a blessing, you know.
All right, but what I'm asking you is, had you done anything prior to, you know, did you just sit in your house and you were praying, or your mom was praying, oh, God, please provide us with a scholarship for my child to go to college or for me to go to college? Or did you make a phone call? Did you make out an application somewhere prior to those two ladies walking into your house on that Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I did some light attempts to find some scholarship money, yes.
Okay, right. So that's what I'm saying. So had you, Steve, and let me just ask you this. Had you not planted some form of that seed, could you say would it be fair to say that there's a likelihood that God would have just sent those women anyway? I mean, he can do whatever he wants to do, but what's the likelihood of that happening without you planting a seed somewhere?
Well, it's a likelihood that God would have did it anyway, but if you're asking for it, or praying for it and taking action on doing something, you know, that's where you're trying to make something happen for yourself. You're putting an effort to trying to plan for scholarships, writing grants, doing this and doing that. You're trying to do it, and the Lord sees you trying to do it, and then all of a sudden he blesses you with money in abundance.
Okay, so now. All right, so Steve, what happens to people, in your opinion, who
Hello, you couldn't Hello, couldn't hear you.
I'm here.
Okay, I got cut off. I couldn't hear for a minute.
I don't hear.
Dr. Walker? You don't hear Dr. Walker?
No, I don't hear him.
Yeah, I don't hear him either. Been cutting off because I didn't hear earlier and been cutting off a little bit. I wonder if he can hear us.
Probably can.
We can't hear him. Yeah. It's been happening on the show. I didn't hear him a little while ago, but I hear you now and don't hear him. What's going on with that? Is the devil trying to be busy?
you know the devil is busy, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he's in everything.
Okay,
can
you all hear me now?
Yeah, we
can hear you now.
Okay, thank you all for sharing it. Okay. We were having some technical difficulty over here. I don't know what happened, but... okay, I was just saying, you know, there are people who pray to pass exams, right? I'm one of them. And to attempt, I didn't pass the biggest exam, my childhood dream. And I'm saying, well, God, you know, I counted on you. I had an expectation, you know. So what happens in a case like that? Steve, let's start with you. What may happen in a case like that?
Well,
when I had an expectation.
You have an expectation, you prayed for it, you did the hard work to get it, but it didn't happen, that's just part of life. It may not happen when you want to, but it may happen later on in life when God says it's so.
Yes.
You know, and everything don't happen the way we want it to, the way
yes.
we need it to, or so forth and so on. It happens when God says it's time to happen, you know, and that's the truth root. It happens when God says it's time to happen, not when necessarily when you want it to happen, when you say it needs to happen. It may not happen till years later. So that's something we have to live with.
You know, that is an interesting point. You said something that was very interesting because you said you did the hard work. And what I come to realize that both of those times prior to, I threw up a Hail Mary prayer. You know, the Hail Mary prayer pass with Doug Flutie. I threw up a Hail Mary prayer. And the fact of the matter is, Stevie, I didn't do the hard work. I did not do the hard work. And I was expecting this miracle. And so I'm saying, and then after a couple of years now, and it's like, well, God, and I'm preparing for it again now. And I'm saying, well, God, you know, and it came to me that you did not prepare. You didn't do your part, meaning I didn't do my part. I didn't, and that was the first thing that you said. You did the hard work because you assumed or presumed that I did the hard part. But I really didn't.
Right.
I thought, I got a PhD. It's all going to be easy. But it's a whole different animal. And so the fact of the matter is, will God do for us what we can't do for what we can do for ourselves? You know, and listen, I'm not saying that God doesn't perform miracles because he does. But there to me was an expectation that God said, you got to know this stuff. You got to know this stuff. And I'm not just going to put it in your head. You got to go out and show that you want this stuff. And now with my preparation, I mean, I done hired a law tutor. I have ordered so many different programs. And it's like I listen to this stuff sometimes in my sleep.
You're doing the work
in
now.
His time. But it wasn't going to be easy because apparently the more I'm struggling with it, the more I want it, and then perhaps the better lawyer I will make. Ms. Augustine, give us your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, our time is not always God's time, you know. And in order for things to happen that we want, we have to put in the work, you know. And I'm a living testimony of that, you know. So I know that there's things in my life I wanted and things in my life I had to work hard at. And if I hadn't worked hard at it, to put in the effort of it, I wouldn't have been as blessed as I am now, that I could say, I'm retired, and I don't have to worry about anything. My home is paid off, but it took a lot of work, a lot of effort, almost disasters. But if I didn't put the effort in, I could have lost my home many times. But I work hard. I prayed hard, and I worked just as hard as I prayed, and God blessed me. God blessed me now today that I don't have to worry.
Right. So you did your part. You did your part.
Yes.
I want you all to listen to this story. This story we're going to repeat from last night. And we have Tasha and son Unger. We're talking about what God do for us, what he expects us to do for ourselves. Tasha's been a single mother with since her husband left her nearly 8 years ago. Let's see here. All right, we're trying to avoid this technical difficulty once again. Okay. The couple divorced because her husband claims that she was spoiling her son, Unger, who was already 13 years old when he first met Tasha. Tasha is a very religious woman who expects God to answer all of her prayers as she has been raised at home and she has been taught this in the church. She strongly feels that God would do everything for us. She fails to understand or entertain the thought that God expects us to do something for ourselves. Now, this is often her argument she had with her ex-husband. Tasha spoiling her son caused a tremendous strain on her marriage at the time. Well, it's been 8 years now, and Unger is 20 years old. And, yes, he is spoiled rotten because his mother his mother still spoils him. Unger dropped out of school in 10th grade. He dropped out of school in 10th grade, and the only jobs that he can find is at fast food restaurants. He has two small children. He's got two babies from two different mothers, and he doesn't even take care of either one of them, and he's not with either of the women. He's absolutely irresponsible, and his mother has greatly contributed to this. Unger spends most of his time staying at home playing video games as he waits for his mother to come home to prepare his meals. What a joke. All right, so recently Tasha's bills have gone beyond her income. That's right, her bills have gone beyond her income, and she is now blaming Unger for all the extras that he's doing around that house, you know, like playing video games, having the lights on, the air conditioning lowered, you know, water bills, just there, running water unnecessarily and doing all sorts of things. She's blaming this on him now. She insists that he gets out and get a job to help around the house, but he tells her that he's waiting for God to answer his prayers for the right job to come along. He insists that she raised him believing that all you have to do is ask, believe, and claim the promise that God will take care of you and all of your needs without even having to go out there and look for it. Tasha is now trying to desperately to tell him that it doesn't work exactly like that and that he has to do his part. Unger reminds her that that is not what he used to hear her tell her ex-husband. She slaps Unger for thinking he is being rude as she starts to cry, now realizing that this is exactly what her ex-husband was trying to convey to her. And I want to begin once again with this question. I want to continue with this question. Is Unger a mama's boy that's causing him to do this, or did his mother just greatly contribute to this? Stevie, let's start with you. Is he the mama's boy? You know, he got slapped by his mom now because she thinks he's being rude, but it woke her up. The slap woke her up.
Yeah, I would consider he, you know, somewhat of a mama's boy. You know, women, parents, you know, a female, you know, usually the woman caters to the young kids and the man caters, you know, they have that strong attachment. The man, the father with the daughter, and the mama with the son. And some, depends on the situation of the family, household, how it's cut, you know, tend to draw and want them to be a certain way. We tend to have a self where we want to be and teach our kids to be like us. We got to let children grow up on their own and be who they're going to be. They're not going to always be and want to do what you want to do, you know. So he's been a little spoiled, and it happens every day all over the world. He's been a little spoiled with himself, and she just has that love and what have you that she wants to do the right thing, Dr. Walker.
Ms. Augustine, let me bring you in. Steve, we appreciate that. Ms. Augustine, let me bring you in. Do you think that that his mother, that love was so important that, you know, you spoiling him, it's really kind of contributed to you losing your marriage? Because the guy just can stick around and see you just babying this teenage boy.
Well, you know what? I did that. You know, my youngest son, I kind of babied him. And when he got to be in his teenage years, he decided that he ran the household. And he did like a growth spurt during the summer, and he became really tall, and I became really afraid, and my husband, I'd let him go, and my other son was in the Army, so I kind of let that child run my house until one day when I saw he had complete control of my house and also the school, I prayed to God, and I told God, I said, God, if you help me get this child out of my house, I'll help him on the outside, but not on the inside. So my son is 6'3". I drugged my son out of my house at 19 and rolled down the stairs. But I didn't put him on the street. I got him in an apartment. And I told him, get a job. And I'll help you till you get a job. He was 19. He was 27 when I realized he was not going to get a job. And
wow.
I enabled him from 19 to 27, paid his rent, phone bill, pocket money. until at 27 I realized it wasn't going to happen. I said, enough is enough, and I stopped. To this day, that child hates my guts. Because 46 years old, and he feels like he said, it was my duty and my responsibility to take care of him the rest of his life. That's what he said.
Yeah.
But what I tell people, he's 46 now. But what I tell people is this. In my house, you follow my rules. But I didn't listen to God when God said let him go, when I didn't want him on the street. And then when he was out there, and I felt like I had to keep on helping him, I kept on helping him. And he wouldn't do anything. And he told me he would, but he didn't. But it wasn't until he was 27, I said, you know what, this child ain't going to get no job. And he didn't.
Wow.
Not until I stopped at 27.
Steve, would you, I'm just thinking over here, I got a mother doing all that for me. Steve, would you, what's the likelihood of you getting a job?
Look here, when she was saying all that, I said, she should have left, you know, you got the boys, with a woman, with a boy, you got to buckle down and stop, bleeding or dealing with that. That's crazy. But it happens. I understand the love for a woman. It happens. But self love is the best love.
It is.
Yeah,
I was screaming. I had to put it on mute because I was screaming over here.
Oh my goodness! I'm telling you, I didn't know what to say. And I mean, he hates your guts, and he's 46 now. I've heard Les Brown talk about his brother, Les Brown, who used to live in Miami. He's a motivation inspirational speaker now, and I heard him tell his story about his brother who was staying in the house with his mom past 30 years of age and wouldn't go out and get a job or anything. And that's these things are just it happens. But, you know, and I know countless stories out there of guys who, who are out there with their mom into their 40s now. And they never even went out, ventured out. I know a lady personally lives right around the corner from me that her son went to school with my son, and that boy didn't work, and he's up there in age now, and he never left home. No girlfriend, no children. Mother takes care of him. Wow. See, what if you met a woman like that, like in our story tonight. Let's just say in our story tonight, you meet someone who, a lady, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, and who has a son like this here that she's still taking care of a 27-year-old, in all of these years. I mean, what message would that send to you, if any, about that relationship that you're having with her? And if she would say defiantly, that, listen, that's my son. I'm going to take care of my son, you know, when he's able to take care of himself. I'm going to pay his rent every month. And you're realizing that some of that money may be coming out of your household, out of your pocket as well. How would you feel about that?
I would feel very disturbed. I'll be running from that young lady because I have had experiences like that. And I'm not going to be able to mate to that woman because that young man is her mate. And I'm just second fiddle. I'd be gone.
Right.
Because I've had experience with women like that, and the boy was home. I am not number one. I'm number two, and I would be leaving so fast, make your head swim.
You know, and Miss Augustine, no disrespect, and because I've had experiences like Steve is talking about as well, and you know, and I can understand even with her husband leaving. I'm talking about in the story. With this lady's husband leaving, I clearly understand why he would leave. Because, Tasha, I could understand clearly why he would leave because, you know, this is not his child, and then there's probably the thought of him trying to be a man to this child, and the mother is going to defend him, and it's that enabling, like you said earlier, is going to ruin that boy, can ruin his life. Go ahead, Ms. Austin.
Yes.
Well, you know, I would tell any man that come in that situation to run. And if I came into that situation, I would run. But I had a reason for my madness. My mother lived with me. And if I didn't give him a place to stay, When I leave the house, she would have moved me back in. My mother loved her. She loved my grandson, my son. She
right.
loved him. So in order to keep him out, I have to make sure he had a home. But when it came down, I had to stop. I had to tell her, if you want him to have a place to stay and you want to bring him back here, I'll let you go stay with him. So when she realized I was serious, because if I hadn't paid his rent, she said, you can't do that to my grandson. She loved him. And if I didn't do it, she would have moved him. I would have went to work and come back, and he would have been here. So to keep him out, I have to keep him place to stay. But then when I let her know that if you bring him back, then you got to go live with him, then she wouldn't do it anymore.
Right.
And I was able to stop.
Okay. So here's the thing now. Going back to our topic tonight, the question is that we're asking is, and we're going to go to 352-560 if they want to come in just a second. If they'll respond, 352-560, did you want to respond?
Hello?
Yes, you're live. Hi, you want to respond?
Hi, this is Liz. How's everyone?
Liz, everyone's great. Liz, thank you. Liz, what are your thoughts?
Well, I was thinking about what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 3, if it's okay if I read it right quick.
Yes, please.
Okay. It says, may God bless you to read numbers word. And it shall come to pass, thou shalt hearken diligently, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee. So God is saying, if you will hearken diligently and keep his commandments, then, he said, all these blessings will come on you. And he will bless you. But first, he says, you have to do the work and keep my commandments. Then you'll get blessed.
Okay. So, I guess all of us define blessed differently, because the sun still shines on the just and the unjust.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, Liz, with what you're saying, I think God has already blessed this planet anyway. You know,
yes.
He's already blessed it. Now, maybe there are extra blessings that we might receive because,
yes.
You know, when you wake up every morning, whether you believe in God or not, you're still breathing. So
yes.
You're still blessed. Would you agree?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes.
We can't
you're still
breathe or do anything without God.
Right. So you're still breathing, even though you might not be worshiping him. But the expectation, let's go back to that word, expectation. So, Steve, there's an expectation that you'll have that the woman, like we gave the scenario tonight, that woman's going to treat you as number one and not number two. That's an expectation, being married, isn't it? And the woman will feel the same way, is it not?
Yes, it's an expectation, yes.
Right. So then having that as an expectation, you don't expect it to be where if you're coming home, you know, from work, and let's say even though the wife's coming home as well, that, you know, she's going to put you on hold in terms of, you know, you want to communicate with her. And she says, well, Steve, you know, wait, I got to make these 7 phone calls. And it's not an urgent matter. And you're getting that experience every day. I mean, is that really your expectation of having a spouse or a woman, for the other part, for your wife having a husband, where she's not expected to feel like she's number one?
Yeah, you know, you want to feel that you're number one in a marriage relationship. And if you're feeling secondhand, you know, and that's what people who work too much or involved in different organizations, and they're putting the time in them, and but I gotta make these calls. Oh, I gotta do this for this organization. Then you're feeling like a second fiddle, and that's
right.
Not fair in a marriage. You're supposed to, you know, each other, man and the woman, supposed to feel, make each other feel number one, you know, and God is first, you know, and God is first, you know, and stuff. So it happens in many relationships, as we well know, in marriages, and you know, and like in some cases with a pastor, if it's a pastor and he's saying he's going over here to do God's work, then, you know, you have to, you know, yield to that. But then even pastors have been caught in situations like that where they have to reach back and say, hey, this is my family. I have to deal with this, you know, because it's family, Lord. And Lord said, ain't no problem with that. I want you to deal with your family and make them, you know, make it work.
Right, right. And I've known a number of pastors who have estranged marriages right now because they didn't, unfortunately, they didn't make their marriages and relationships a priority. So, I mean, that can happen to anyone because you know,
yep.
We hear the stories on Adam and Eve, and I don't know how you all, and Liz, we're going to come to you on this one here, whether Adam was physically present with Eve in the Garden of Eden when she was deceived by this serpent. You know, was Adam present? Now, I've heard different speculations on that, but what do you say, Liz? Was Adam physically there with her, in your opinion,
well,
from your reading and interpretation?
Well, I was taught that the serpent beguiled her, and then she went to Adam, and then she sort of seduced Adam. So I was taught that she went to him. He was not there, and she went to him, just
uh-huh.
like the snake came to her. And it says in Genesis 2:15 about working, about doing the work, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, meaning to work
right.
it.
Right,
so
right.
God wants right. us to keep it or dress it or work it or do something, you know, for it. God says that he will reward every man according to his deed. And if you don't do
uh-huh.
nothing, you just be like a sluggard. You know, the Lord said, you sluggard, learn from the ant. So you gotta, the Lord wants you to do something in order so that you can gain something.
Right. Now, I'm glad you mentioned that part that the Lord, you know, about the part that he put the man in the garden and told him to till it. And then, because that showed that God could have done all of this himself, but he had
yes.
an expectation that the
yes.
man, this is your job, this is
yes.
what I want you to do.
Yes,
I can do it. I created the world in six
right.
days and seventh day.
And
I rested.
He doesn't need our help.
I created all of this, so I created this for you. You know, as part of my creation, this is for you. Everything is here. I've already done it. Now you need to do something. Don't have an expectation for me to continue doing everything for you that you can do for yourself. And now let me just give my interpretation. I'm going to ask Ms. Augustine and Steve as well, their interpretation on, was Adam physically there with Eve? And I believe that my interpretation of the Bible, that she gave to her husband, she gave to Adam, and he also took the fruit thereof. She gave to him. She gave
yes,
to
she
him.
She went to him and gave it to him.
Yeah, it says she went to him. So he
yes,
wasn't
she went.
There. She took it to him. And then it
right.
also said he saw that she had bitten of the fruit. So
okay.
he saw that she had bitten the fruit, and she offered to him, and then he ate of the fruit.
Right. Steve, what's your interpretation, Steve, on that?
Well, she was with the serpent and by the tree. Adam wasn't behind
right.
her.
He wasn't
he
there.
Was serpent, he wasn't there. So she bit the fruit and saw that she wasn't naked, and then she went to Adam and said, bite on this, turkey. you gonna see. You know, bite on this. Because he wasn't able to see that she was naked. But she was able to see that she was naked and say, hey, join
right.
me. I'm beautiful. You know, come on, bite on this turkey. You know, but I've always asked, what in case if Adam didn't do it, didn't bite? I've always asked that question, what would have happened? What would happen if he didn't bite?
Well, you know, the commandment was given to Adam and not to Eve.
Correct.
So the commandment was given, Adam, don't you bite this apple. The commandment was given to Adam, but not to Eve, because Adam was the head of the house.
Mm-hmm. Not at that time. Not at that time.
He was the
not.
Head. Adam was the head. He was made 400 years before Eve got here on the scene.
But Eve wasn't there yet, so he couldn't be the head.
No, right. He wasn't, you know, Adam became the head when sin entered the world. They had equality. You know, they were equal. She was made from his side. They were equal. And that was God's plan. But it was when sin entered the world, that's when he put her, that he should be the ruler over the woman. That's when that happened.
Right.
It wasn't, and that's my interpretation. Steve, do you have something else, Ms. Augustine?
No. He mentioned after they beat it, you are ruler over her because you came from, you know, the rib and stuff. That's where I read it.
Yes.
I don't remember.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
He was in charge of her. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that was after the
law.
Sin.
The law
that's
was given to Adam. It wasn't given to Eve.
But I think that they both had it. I think that they both had it. To me,
it's like say you have two children, and the parents say to the older child, "Listen, do not go outside and play until I get home." Now, they didn't tell it to the younger child because they left the older child responsible for the younger child. So they left the older child in charge of the younger child. So they didn't tell it to both children. They just told it to the one, the oldest one. And that's what God did to Adam. He just told Adam the commandment of not to eat off that tree.
All right. So if you're saying that, Liz, then you're saying, is it suggesting or inferring that Eve didn't know any better? Are you saying that she didn't know any better?
I'm saying
and if that's
she...
the case,
she, I'm saying she knew better, but what happened was she wasn't charged. It wasn't, the commandment was not given to her. So she wasn't charged for the crime in the beginning because the commandment was given to Adam.
So you're saying, but all of us are in the predicament we're in as a result of both of them partaking of this.
Right.
Don't, wouldn't you
but
say so?
If Adam had not listened to her and let her seduce him or trick him or talk him into, like Steve say, bite this apple here. Come on, bite it. So if Adam had not given in to her womanly wiles, you know how these women are. You know, they know how to blink that eye and shake that tail. Okay, so if Adam hadn't given in to her, okay, so then Eve and Adam will be in a different state because God would have said, okay, you know, Adam, you obeyed my commandment because I gave a commandment to you. I didn't give it to Eve. I left you in charge over Eve. I left you in charge. I told you. I didn't tell her because you are the one who was supposed to be in charge. So I told you. So if Adam hadn't bit that apple, then the world probably wouldn't be in the shape it is now.
I think God would have wiped out Eve, and then Adam and God would have gave Adam another woman. That's what I feel.
Yes,
that's
I think
I feel.
That too.
Yeah.
I think he would have made a better model. I think he
still
would have.
But you know what? I'm glad that, I mean, I don't know if using the word glad is the right word or not. God forgive me if it's not. But it shows God's love that he didn't wipe Eve out. It shows his love because he had a plan of salvation.
Right.
And so to me, it's almost like if he just wiped, this is just my thinking now, if he had just wiped Eve out and gave him another woman, then it would have almost been like, well, God is, you know, we got to worship him out of fear. We got to worship him out of fear because, you know, he means business. But, you know, I mean, it's like, but we're children. We were made from dirt. We weren't made from the clouds, and we weren't made, you know, from angelical stuff. You know, so, I mean, I'm not saying that there's an expectation for us to be bad, but I see God as being so great and so awesome, the fact that he did not destroy or wipe Eve completely out, but it's like this was his prized possession, mankind, Adam and Eve. And it's like he showed love for her. He showed love for her, even though she messed up greatly, and he messed up greatly, Adam did. And it's just like, I'm so grateful that he didn't wipe her out. Steve, your thoughts on that? Should he have just wiped her out?
This is me personally thinking. I feel that, you know, God, you know, if Adam didn't take it and went on about his business and said, Lord, my wife, you know, she done bit of the fruit, but I didn't. I'm coming to you. Help me, Lord. You know, I think, you know, God would just, hey, I'm going to get rid of Eve. Woof. She's gone. And the serpent, I'll put him on the, make him a snake. And then Adam, I'm going to give you another woman. We're going to start this all over again. That's my feelings, you know. I'm
okay,
wrong,
but I disagree. Miss Augustine, we're going to come to you in just a second. But if we go with that theory, wouldn't it be like, it would almost seem like, well, God, you, like Adam said, the woman you gave me, God, that means it's almost like you're saying, God, that you didn't create the woman right in the first place. God, you didn't create her right. But see, what God did was his greatness. He created her with free choice. Free choice.
Yeah, free will. Yeah,
with free will. So she had that option, and even with that free choice, and he's still with us today, because even with us still messing up with our free choices, he's still giving us a chance, showing his love for us. That's how I take it. Miss Augustine,
right.
Let's go with you. Give us your thoughts.
Okay. God don't make no mistake. God already knew what Eve was going to do. He already knew what she was going to do.
He sure did.
What she did and what Adam did was no accident. And if God would have removed Eve and gave him a new, that's like saying he makes mistakes. God don't make no mistakes.
Right.
He don't make no mistakes. So he already knew what she was going to do. He already knew.
Right. We're almost out of time. So let's go back to our original question, and then next week we're going to have a real deep subject on does God contradict himself? You know, we're going to be talking about stuff like that next week, because people have said, well, God changed
his mind.
Well,
you got some hot topics.
Yeah, we want to do that one next Friday night. Does God change his mind? Let me just stay with that just for a second, and then we'll go back and give a final thought on what God do for us, what he expects us to do for ourselves. Let's start with Liz. Let's start with you. Does God change his mind?
He can change his mind anytime and any way he wants. He says that he'll do a new thing. So he can change his mind at any time. Now, I just wanted to point out with you about Adam and Eve right quick. About getting a new model, that reminds me of like Job when his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Well, God kept her. He didn't get rid of Job's wife when she told him to curse her. And then, but
right.
With King Solomon, he did get another wife because his wife was Bashanti at first, and then he got Queen Esther. So then God did replace Bashanti with Esther. So God can change his mind. He's free to do that if he decides to.
But where is it leading up to that God changed his mind and thought about giving him this one, but he decided to give him that one? Bring that scripture to us next week. Let's go to Ms. Augustine right now. Does God change his mind? Does God change his mind and say, oops, I made a mistake over here. Let me change my mind. If he's omniscient, will God change his mind?
No. What God gives us is choice. He gives us choice, and he gives us a path to go down, and we can choose to go down the God's choice or our choice, our road. You know, so he doesn't change his mind. He just gives us free will. Well, not exactly free will. He gives us the right to choose, and the choices we choose are not always right. It's not always God's way or God's will.
And I want to just say real quick, Abraham asked God when God said he's going to destroy all the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, well, God, would you save it for 50 righteous people? He said, yes. And Abraham said, pre-adventure, would you save it for 40 righteous people? And he said, yes. He said, but God, I just want to ask you, would you save it for 30 righteous people? He said, yeah. He said, well, God, I just want to ask you one more time, would you save it for 20 righteous people? He said, yeah, I'll save it for 20. He said, God, I want to ask you one more time, pre-adventure, if it's 10 righteous people, would you save it? He said, yes, I will save it for 10 righteous people. So he changed his mind about 5 times right there from 50 to 10.
God already knew. He was just having a conversation. He was just having a conversation with him.
That's showing that he changed his mind 5 times.
No,
but it doesn't show he changed his mind. Nuh-uh. God already knew. Steve, give us your thoughts, Steve.
Will God change his mind?
No,
God would not change his mind. I feel that God would not change his mind. If God changed his mind, we would know how we could trust him. You know,
that's right.
God is consistent. He don't change his mind. Because if he did that, he'd be just like me and you. Change your mind, do this, I want that person, or like this lady or that lady. Oh, we wouldn't be able to trust them.
God, that's exactly what it is. And then next week we're going to deal with an issue about the Sabbath, you all. So I hope y'all will join us, because we've had this one before, but this is going to be a part two, and it's going to be even more powerful than part one. Because when we talk about does God change his mind? It appears that it looks like he's changed his mind. But God is like you said, Steve, he's consistent. Because, you know, now we got mankind that says, oh, well, Sunday is the day of worship. Sunday is the day of worship. And I'm not trying to infringe or impose on anyone's belief about Sunday, but I'm saying God said the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then what I'm looking at is, so somewhere along the way, somebody comes along, and if you look at all of society, all of the things that mankind has done, he's made a counterfeit for everything that God has done. Everything that God has put out to be the original, the good, man has come along with a counterfeit to say, oh, no, that's not good. This is good. You know, God created the world, and he said it was very good. When he finished, he said it was very good. You know, it was complete. And then man came along thinking that they can do better than God and says, no, let's alter this here. It's just like even the foods down to the foods that we eat. Man has come along, and now they're planting crops. And don't take my word for it. Look at the research. Without even having certain seeds in it.
Yes.
You know, and you look at the fruit, the bananas, and look at the watermelon, and the different things that we're eating.
Yes.
But look at the illnesses that are constantly coming up. Where is this coming from? That'll be coming from somewhere, because now we have gone contrary to what we thought. We thought we can do it better than God. So next week, I mean, it's just like AD 321. Many people don't know this, but the Sabbath day, Saturday, was changed from Saturday to Sunday by the Roman Emperor in Constantine in AD 321, because he was prosecuting the Christians that didn't worship on Sunday. And so out of fear, they changed over to from Saturday to Sunday. And people are still following that today. So we're going to be talking about some of that next week. Any final thoughts, you all?
Yes, I just want to say real quick that the fourth commandment says the Sabbath day is holy. And also God changed his mind from saying that the first time with Noah that he sent rain for 40 days to kill all the people in the world. He said next time he's going to send fire. So he changed his mind from water to fire.
No, that's not changing
his
mind.
No, he didn't change his mind.
No, he didn't change his mind. He did what he wanted to do that time. He said the flood that time. He said, now next time it's going to be. Right.
Fine.
That's not changing his mind. He changed his mind if he said, okay, next time I'm going to change it to next time I'm going to change my mind. Instead of water next time, I'm going to do it for fire. But he never said, I'm going to change my mind. Yeah. So listen, we are clearly out of time. You all, I want to thank all of you all, the ones of you all that we couldn't get to tonight. You know, that's why you got to press one early. Next week we're going to be asking the question, does God change his mind? Liz, we definitely want you to join us because you think you really believe that God changes his mind.
Yes, I do believe
this.
He has that right.
He can do whatever he wants to do. But
yes.
Listen, I like what Steve said, and it would make it seem like he's inconsistent. All right, and listen, thank you all so very much. Join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. If you choose to bypass next Thursday, join us back here live next week when the topic will be, does God change his mind? We're going to see about that. All right, until next Thursday or until next Friday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You're